Hey, good morning, church. All right. Good morning to Extended Family Online. We're excited that you have chosen to worship with us this week and every other week that you come. We will be continuing in our current series called Foreigners, Living Purposely in a Strange Land. And as you open your Bibles today, I will be reading from the NLT translation, which is the New Living Translation. So feel free to follow along on the screen behind me in your Bibles or on your mobile device. I'm going to be reading today's passage as a whole, and then we'll go back and dig deeper into what Peter shared with us. And so today's scripture lesson is 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 13 through 17. Again, it is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And it says, "Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." And verse 16, "But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong." And so, okay, I'm fine now. It's just switching from music mode to Nick mode. So, so anyway, verse 13. "Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good?" You know what? That is an interesting question that Peter is asking. Because history is full of martyrs who have died at the hands of enemies of the gospel. And in my search, I found two possible explanations about why Peter would ask such a question. And the first explanation is maybe Peter was just thinking in a general sense that those who try to live right will, for the most part, avoid trouble and bad situations. The second explanation comes from the thought that the worst an enemy of the gospel can do to a Christian is to harm our bodies, but they cannot harm our soul. Obviously, no one wants their body harmed, but as a believer, we also know that is nothing compared to eternal torment. Did you know that persecutions against Christians is on the rise worldwide? According to the 2022 World Watch List by Open Doors International, the persecutions against our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are rising, especially in Asian and African countries. Listen to this quote. "According to its findings, which have been thoroughly analyzed by the Independent International Institute for Religious Freedom, over 360 million people, that is one out of seven people globally, endured persecution and discrimination in their country last year. Overall, 5,898 Christians were killed, and that is up 23.8% since 2020. 5,110 churches were attacked or closed up, and that is up 13.8%. 6,175 were Christians arrested without trial, which is up 44.3%, and 3,829 were kidnapped, and that is up a whopping 123.9%. If you attend here on a regular basis, then you know that we take time every week to show the prayer video, which you just saw a little while ago, so that we can remember our persecuted brothers and sisters in different countries. We need to be faithful in our prayers to them, because in the not-so-distant future, maybe one of those videos can be about us right here in this country. You know, for those of you that have sermon notes, if you're filling in the blanks, it should read, "Persecution and suffering will separate true believers from those who simply play church. Persecution and suffering will separate true believers from those who play church. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38 says, "Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will find it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" You see, we currently have a great deal of religious freedom in our country compared to others, don't we? You know, we have Christian music stations, television stations, though some might be a little questionable, podcasts, apparel, ball caps, concerts, conferences. We got multiple hard copies of Bibles. We got Bible study software. We got Chick-fil-A. You know, but one day some of those things may be illegal. So what are we doing right now with all this freedom that we have? Are we as individuals and churches taking it for granted? Are we taking advantage of all the resources that we have while they are still available to help us share our faith, as Peter mentions in verse 15, which we'll get to? Let's go back and continue with verse 14. It says, "But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats." While looking deeper into this verse, I came across a commentary that had something worth repeating to everyone. It said that, "But suppose a Christian should suffer persecution because of his loyalty to the Savior. What then? Well, three results follow. The first one is God overrules the suffering for his own glory. God overrules the suffering for his own glory. Two, he uses the suffering to bring blessing to others. He uses the suffering to bring blessing to others. And the third one, he blesses the one who suffers for his name. He blesses the one who suffers for his name." Also in the last part of verse 14 where Peter mentions, "So don't worry or be afraid of their threats," he is actually quoting from the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verses 12 to 13, which says, "Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble." Someone said this quote, thought it was very much worth sharing with you, and it says, "We fear God so little because we fear man so much." We fear God so little because we fear man so much. And that shouldn't be, right? You know, Matthew 10, verse 28 says, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Listen to the story of many throughout history who refused to renounce Christ in the face of an enemy of the gospel. The story I am about to read to you is from the book, or Voice of the Martyrs, if you've heard of that. Or if you're younger, DC Talk did a book called Jesus Freaks, and they kind of combined it into the same thing. So this is one of those stories. This is called Crazy for Jesus. He was about a 16-year-old boy named Yun. The story takes place in mainland China during the 1950s. "There is a book that tells how to get to heaven?" "Yes, Yun, I have seen it with my own eyes," answered the old man. "Where is this book?" asked Yun. "I must see it for myself." "It is far away, over 35 miles," the old man said sadly. "It is too far to walk, and you have no bicycle." "I will go," replied Yun. This young man walked the 35 miles and met with the owner of the Bible. That right there. How many of y'all would walk 35 miles just to get God's word? That is amazing, is it not? And eventually, he was able to get a Bible of his own. Yun then joined with another Christian, and together they went from village to village telling about Jesus. As this was illegal, the police would often come to stop them. Yun came up with a way around this problem, and he read in 1 Samuel 21:13 that David once pretended to be crazy and to escape from his enemies. When the police came, Yun did the same thing. He made a spectacle of himself, and the police laughed at him and let him go. After they were gone, he would become serious again and continue to speak to the people about salvation. But before long, however, Yun was cruelly beaten and put in prison for his faith. Afterward, he had to stand public trial in a marketplace. Yun was small and thin. He was dressed in rags and barefoot, his face deformed from the beatings. The judge said to him, "We will give you one last chance to save your life. If you leave the underground church and join the Three Self Patriotic Church, we will make you one of its leaders." Yun remained silent. He knew the government church worked closely with the communists and often turned house church Christians into be imprisoned or beaten. The judge brought in a doctor who said to him sarcastically, "I'll heal your dumbness." And the doctor forced needles under Yun's fingernails. When Yun passed out, the policeman walked on his body saying, "Your stubbornness caused all this." He was brought back to a cell where other prisoners urinated on him. His only treasure was a tin cup which he had painted a cross. This was thrown in the toilet. Weeping, he fished it out and pressed it to his heart. Yun fasted often, praying for the Chinese churches, his fellow inmates, and himself. He was finally released after 10 years, still strong in his faith, and refusing any compromise with the world or with the government-supported church. "That is why I am suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return." That was from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, written by Paul the Apostle, who was beheaded for his faith. After hearing a story like this, I mean, do you feel that you've truly faced persecution? I can say for me, no. What's the most inconvenience? Maybe someone making fun of me, but I haven't faced true persecution like that, and I doubt most of us have in here. Well, let's move on and look at the first part of verse 15. "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life." What does it mean to worship Christ as Lord of your life? It is saying, is Jesus everything to you? Are you living for him? Or are you telling Jesus how to live for you? His influence should dominate every area of our lives, in our relationships, in the marriage, how you raise your children, in our daily decisions, in what entertainment we watch and listen to, in how we spend our finances. Do you spend time in his word so that you can continue to grow stronger spiritually? Do you spend time in prayer talking to him so you can get to know him better and recognize his voice? Again, is Jesus everything to you? Or are you simply just playing church? You may be able to fool people, but you are not fooling God at all. I've mentioned this in a previous message, but I'll say it again because it's relevant to today's message. An evangelist by the name of Steve Hill often said, "Religion is hanging around the cross, but Christianity is getting on the cross." Religion is just hanging around the cross, but Christianity is getting on the cross. Are you playing church, or are you actually a part of his church, his body? There is a major difference that not only impacts how you live now, but also where you will spend eternity. Let's move on to the second part of verse 15, which says, "And if somebody asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." That is straightforward and so important. We need to be ready at a moment's notice to share with whoever asks in that moment. Why? Because that opportunity may never come again between you and that person. In that moment, maybe the walls that person normally keeps up are finally down, and their wounded soul is ready to receive the truth that you have to speak. I can share a personal example of a story like that here. Before I moved to Georgia, I lived in Denver, Colorado, and for a little while, I worked at an independent amusement park, which was up in the foothills near Golden, Colorado. And my boss there used to refer to me as church boy. Church boy this, church boy that. And we were getting ready for a haunted house coming up in October. And so he was like, "So how does church boy feel about working in a haunted house?" And for once I had a comeback. And I said, "Well, maybe church boy will just take his Bible in the haunted house and get people saved on the way out." And he was like, "Oh, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that." You know, but later down the road, we were told that he was taking some time off, and so his sister came in to work for him instead. But when his sister came in, she called me to the office, and I was like, "What did I do now?" And she said that, "I want to tell you about why my brother is not here. You see, he attempted to take his life, and he asked for church boy to come talk to him." What? Ask for church boy, huh? You know, but in all the joking, he was watching, but he knew that I believed in something and he wanted to hear it. And I was able to witness to my boss. And even though he did not accept it at that time, I was able to take him to church later, which blew his mind because he thought we were all just doing Gregorian chants still. So walked in, he saw lights and a band. He's like, "This is church." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, but there is more because we worship in different ways, don't we?" You know, and so the thing is, if I wasn't sure, you know, if I had to start stumbling around for like my smartphone to call my small group leader or my pastor because I didn't know what to say, it is very possible that that God-given opportunity would have passed me by. And who knows if he would have been ready to receive it again. Your family, friends, and coworkers, they already have a good idea about what you are passionate about. How do they know? Because you talk about it often. You don't have to give much thought to it because it just comes flowing out of you. You know, maybe you even wear a cap or a shirt, you know, with the image on it of what you love. And if that topic or subject comes up in a conversation, people automatically think of you. When spiritual conversations come up, especially about Jesus, does your family, your friends, coworkers automatically think, "I can ask them"? Or would they be shocked to hear that you're even spiritual? You know, again, for those filling in the blanks in your notes, it should read, "If Jesus is Lord of your life, then it should be evident to others." If Jesus is Lord of your life, then it should be evident to others. Sharing about your hope as a believer should just flow naturally as you sharing statistics about your favorite sports team to people. You know, it should. If you're spending time with God, you're not going to have to go, "Oh, let's see, what is that, what is that?" It's like, it's just going to flow naturally. Now, if you're brand new to the faith, then it could be understandable if you're going to call someone for help, just to ask. But even in that case, all you have to do if you're new to the faith is just share what made you change your mind that you wanted to have Jesus Christ come into your life, and God will use that for his glory. Amen? Because everyone's not a preacher, but we are all ministers, right? Where you are planted, that is your mission field, whether you like it or not. People are looking at you. As soon as they hear you're a Christian, they might do things to test you because they want to see if what you believe is real, and I think they're hoping it is, so that they can ask you about it. So we always need to be ready. You see, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Don't say, "That person can't be saved." That's dangerous territory, right? Everyone can be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." So let's move back along to verse 16 from today's reading. "But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." Why should you share your faith in a gentle and respectful way? So that you can have a meaningful conversation with them and be able to know what to share as they share their heart with you. You know, screaming in someone's face, telling them they're going to burn for eternity is not the best thing to do whatsoever. And freaking out when they share, you know, what they've been going through, that's not gentle nor respectful to them. You know, if you act like that, in fact, Satan may be ready to give you a high five for turning that person off. And that's definitely scary. The next sentence about keeping your conscience clear is referring to if you know you are innocent for any wrongdoing, it is easier to go through persecution with boldness. Though your enemies will try to bring allegations against you anyway, when the truth is revealed and all see that those allegations were false, it will be your enemies that will be ashamed. Looking at verse 17, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Although no one wants to suffer in general, if it is for doing good, then know God is going to bring something greater out of it. Let me ask you something. Does anybody know what today is? There we go. It's like, yeah, Sunday. It's like, yeah, it's Sunday, but it's also Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. For a brief moment, people were celebrating and blessing Jesus as he approached Jerusalem, humbly riding on a donkey. But by the end of this week, on what we now call Good Friday, Jesus was abandoned by his disciples. He was abandoned for the first time in eternity by his Father when our sins were placed upon him. Why? Because God is holy and he cannot be in the presence of sin. Jesus was whipped and beaten almost beyond recognition. And if that wasn't torture enough already, he suffered the horror of crucifixion followed by death. Why? Because his love for us goes beyond all comprehension. Through all that suffering and unimaginable horror came the greatest news of all time. 3 days later, on a Sunday morning that we now call Easter, Jesus defeated death and rose from the grave. That's worth getting excited about, right? Definitely. And so through the death and resurrection of God's only Son, Jesus Christ, we have been restored through his blood to be able to have a relationship with God and eternal life. We have been saved from the eternal torment that awaited us because of our sins. Jesus made a way for us to come home. For true believers in Christ, our real home is heaven. And that is why we are just foreigners here, purposely living in a strange land. We once were lost, but through Christ we've been found. And that is the message. That is the good news, the gospel that we need to be sharing with those who do not know. If Jesus suffered for doing good, what makes you think that we won't as Christians? Compared to eternal life, the suffering we may endure now for doing good, if that's what God wants, to bring him glory, it's temporary compared to eternal. Maybe there's someone here this morning, in person or online, that wants to have a relationship with Jesus. He's waiting to hear from you. And all you need to do is just to say a simple prayer, which is just having a conversation with God. And you just say something like this to him. Lord, I humbly come before you a sinner. I have rebelled against your ways and I am deeply sorry. I want to repent of my ways and ask that you please forgive me for all my sins. Jesus, thank you for coming from heaven to earth to die on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Son of God that rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life and to save me. Please be my Lord and Savior. If you pray something like that, then Jesus is in your life. And I say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. If Georgia Bulldogs can get some claps, I think Jesus is able to get a whole lot more. Right. That's right. There we go, Brian. That's what I'm saying. It was just always just funny. It's just like, yeah, you know, we're rowdy at games, but we come to church time. Shh, quiet. We're worshiping. You know, there's a time to be relevant, but there's also a time to celebrate as well. Amen? So, well, if you did... You don't want to see me dance. That would be a deliverance service right there. So, all right. But if you accepted Christ, here's what we would like you to do. If you are here with us in person, there's a connect card on one of the back of the chairs. Just fill it out. And we got two boxes, black boxes hanging on the wall in the back. And we just ask that you would slip that in there because we want to follow up and just tell you how to get plugged in with this amazing Savior. See, God uses imperfect people like me, right? And like you. We might not be the best speaker or singer or whatever, but God has a plan for us. And if he has called you to do it, then you are empowered to do it. And it's amazing what you will be able to do. As I often say, it's not about what goes on stage, you know, in the lights and with the music. It's about we are the body of Christ, not just up here. So when we come to worship, it's not about watching us. There's an audience of one, right? When you sing, we are singing directly to God. He is our audience that we are going for. So know that you are the light of Christ, and people are watching, and they want to hear what you have to say. And if we do it through our actions, we're already speaking louder than we realize at that time. So let's pray, and then... We got one more song to sing to bless you with, so let's pray. God, we thank you for this time and opportunity that we have to come worship you where it is not illegal, God, and pray that you would help us, God, to be faithful with the resources that you have given us, God. Embolden us, Lord, in our faith, because there is nothing to be ashamed about. We have the answer to eternal life. We have the answer to those who are desperately looking for hope in this dark world. And I pray, God, that you would empower us to be on fire for you, God, no matter where we are. And just pray that people would see us as we are living in you, God. God, I just pray that you would give us, as people of God, to see people through your eyes of compassion. God, help us to be compassionate instead of sarcastic, instead of being cynical. Help us to love people as much as you have loved us and changed us so that they can have that opportunity as well. We thank you, Lord, and we love you in Jesus' name.